hard to believe that it's been 21 years of ministry. We started on November 12th, 1995. At that time, I was 32 years old. Married with two kids and another one on the way. Harry was born that next year. And a whole lot of things have happened over the years. And so I've been kind of reflecting and thinking about things and thinking about this church and where we came from. And we started on Wrightsboro Road and were there for 5-6 years. And then we moved to Augusta Prep. And then we came here in this building, purchased this building in 2005 and have been here over 10 years. But what this church has been about over the last 21 years, it's about people getting saved, coming to know Jesus, people being strengthened in their faith, helping people find out who they are in Christ, caring for people as they go through crisis. How many know that we go through challenges? We love each other, we care for each other, and to bring people together of different backgrounds, different education, different financial situation, different upbringing, all kind of things, and bring people together for a cause. Now, at the core of what we believe here and the core of what we do here at Good News Church is the belief that believers are here for more than just to fill a seat on Sunday morning, and more than just to give in an offering, and more than just to serve to make the pastors look good. That there's a greater purpose for the believers, and that the believers have a calling, that the believers have a ministry. And so that's what we've been about. And we call it the ministry of the believer, and our mission is about empowering people to give life and to let believers know that that you have a calling from God, you have a purpose to be here. The church is not just about Sunday morning or what happens in a building. Church is what happens in your world, where you go. This is the practice for the game, and the real game is in your world, in your lives. And this church is not about a celebrity minister. I'm not even capable of being that. But it's not about celebrity preachers and, you know, entourage and people following, you know, just a man or the, you know, someone like that. That's not what we're about. We're about the celebrity here is all of us. All of us finding our place and finding out who we are. So I wanted to read a scripture which I think basically can really summarize Good News Church. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 4. If you want to turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And, you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of pastors and ministers don't understand this verse. They just have gotten it wrong. But let's read it. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself, this is talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And what that's called is the fivefold ministers, fivefold ministry. And what these are, it says some, these are the leaders in the body of Christ. And then, but here is the purpose for the fivefold ministry, the purpose for the leaders. It's not about people serving them. It's not about them looking good. It's not about them being great. No, the purpose of the fivefold ministry of the leaders in the body of Christ is this: for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? The believers, the born again ones. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're a saint." And now turn to your other neighbor and say, "Why don't you act like one?" No. The equipping of the saints, the believers, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So a lot of things happen at church. And there is fellowship, and there is care, and there is social things, and there is, you know, teaching on, you know, building up and edifying. All these different things are happening, being fed, being taught, being trained. But it's all for a purpose, and that purpose is for the work of the ministry, that each of us have a ministry. This word equipping means to make fully ready, to be fully prepared. This word work means the Father's business, undertaking the cause of Christ. And the word ministry means service, ministry. It means to proclaim the gospel to the world. It means doing the works of Christ. It means being Jesus to the world. So we have to keep our eyes on what we're doing here in the midst of all that's happening, because sometimes we can get distracted. Sometimes it's, you know, you can kind of get off track. What are we doing here? But this verse is saying that our job is to train and mobilize believers to take up their part in the Great Commission and to be Jesus to a hurting and dying world. That's what we're doing, is to mobilize, train believers to be Jesus to a hurting and dying world. And so our main goal is to produce fruit that remains. We are about saving people. We're about getting people saved, and we want you to know how to do that. Once we get them saved, we want to teach and train people. We want to help believers mature and grow up, not just be babies, but to grow up and to be matured so that they can take their place in this world, so they can be empowered, so they can be empowered in their world to go into their world and be Jesus. Yeah, in the middle of all that you've got going on, in the middle of all the trials and tribulations that you're dealing with, you take the time to reach out to others. You take the time to reach out to other people that are hurting, even though you are hurting, because you have something in you that they need, that we are a light in this world. And how many know, as darkness covers the earth, we need light. And the enemy wants us to be silent, and the enemy wants us to be quiet, but this is not a time to be quiet. This is a time to be the brightest light that we can be. And so we want to help you and be prepared that when you walk out of this building, that you're ready for all that the enemy throws your way, that you be successful as believers, but then also you're going to touch and reach other people with the good news. And so as leaders at this kind of church, and you know, to be honest, I mean, I would have thought that, you know, looking back at my 32-year-old self, you know, MBA, worked for a large corporation, I would have thought this church at this time would be a mega church, meaning 1,000 or more people. And so, you know, you're like, well, what's happened? And, you know, as I've been kind of thinking about that, because, you know, when you're younger, you have these ambitions, you have these dreams, you have these goals, and what people's expectations and what you're seeing in the world. But you know what? The kind of vision and mission we have may not be mega church material. But if you look at the impact that we're having in the world, it really is a mega church impact. Because right now we've got two sister churches, one in India, one in Colorado. We have what we're doing through live streaming, and other folks are watching that and receiving the message of empowerment. And then we have people that we're connected with that are taking the I Give Life message and about empowerment of believers, taking it to nations. And so we have to look at the big picture of what God's doing. And, you know, this last year has been kind of challenging. We've been on a lot of different trips and done a lot of different things. And we got to figure out a way to be able to do those things, but also make sure Good News Church is strong. And that's one of the reasons we started the Ministry Council and other things that we're doing is, you know, this church has to grow. This church has to be healthy. But then be able to do all we can to help the other churches and other leaders empower believers. So that's the challenge that we face, and we can do it. God's helping us. And doors are opening up around the world to train up believers. But there's a key to all of this, and I think it's very important that I talk about this today in light of all that's happening right now in the world. I can't help but being influenced by the election and all that's happening here. And so as I'm looking towards the future, I know that, again, the Lord has a mission for us. But this mission can't be done without one important ingredient. And there's a key for all of this to work. Now, you've heard me say this over the years, and I'll keep on saying it, and they even mentioned it during the announcements as we were talking about open arms, that my prayer is that when people come in to Good News Church or come into contact with people from Good News Church, that they would experience God's love. Have you heard me say that? That they would experience God's love, whether they just come for one time, whether we just meet them for one time, or whether they come and decide to stay at Good News Church, that they would experience God's love. And we experience God's love through people. And that we would be a church of open arms, that we would not be a church that's fake, you know, a fake love or a fake friendliness, or we're just trying to be friendly to get you to come back. No, that would be the real thing. That God's love. And that's a difficult thing to do. That's not easy to do. But that's still my prayer, and that's going to be a key as we go forward and to follow God and to fulfill His plan for us. That's got to be foremost. That's got to be, a big part of who we are here. And to, in order to be a life giver, we have to walk in love. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 says this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I mean, we can do all these things. We can do great things for the kingdom. But if we don't have love, if we don't have God's love, it's nothing. It comes to nothing. It means nothing. Now, there are 15 characteristics in 1 Corinthians 13 of agape love. And I'm not going to read those today. You need to go back and read those. It'll probably be important. Maybe do a series on that. But agape love, and this is Christ's kind of love, agape love is unique to Christianity because agape love is loving people with the same love that God loves us. And the only people that can love like God loves are people that are His children, that are in His family. And so this is unique to Christianity. This is unique to the body of Christ. Agape love is an unconditional love, not based on the performance of the other person. It's a decision to love. It's a love that expects nothing in return. You know how hard that is? To love people and to expect nothing in return? It's a sacrificial love that gives and gives and gives, even when there is no response from the person you're giving it to. It's love that overlooks people's sins. Why are we surprised in the world that sinners sin? That's what their nature. That's what they do. Now, I know we are surprised and hurt sometimes when believers sin, but all of us, wherever we are with God, still are broken people. We make mistakes. Now, it's no excuse. So we need to have grace not only for those that are not saved, but we need to have grace for other believers. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to miss it. People you love and care for are going to miss it in a big way. But we make a decision that we're going to walk in agape love. And agape love is so strong that it forces us to act. It forces us to act like Jesus. It forces us to do what Jesus would do if He was in your shoes. Romans 5 says this agape love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But we have to decide every day if we're going to walk in that love. And I'm not saying it's easy. We've got to make a decision that today we're going to walk in that agape love. And we have to stir it up. That's one of the things about a church, is we stir each other up. We should be encouraging each other. Let's act like Jesus. And if we do make mistakes, let's encourage each other and help each other to come through it. Let's forgive each other. Now it's hard. I mean, in this church, I mean, the task that we have is impossible. To have the kind of people that we have here and try to come together, it's an impossible job. And some days I'm just like, Lord, you know, why me? But I believe in you. And I believe in agape love. And 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 says, love never fails. So I choose to keep on loving. I choose to keep on forgiving, even when you and even when I mess up. I'm going to keep on loving. I'm going to keep on loving the sinners. I'm going to keep on loving those that reject God. Christ's love in me compels me to do that. And I'm going to be patient. And I'm going to be patient with you, because sometimes it seems like we go two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes I feel like we're making progress, and then other times I'm just so discouraged. Like, where are we going? I mean, this election season and the things that have happened even amongst the church is very discouraging to me. It hurts. The attitudes that we have towards each other as believers, the things that we say and the things that we do, it really hurts as a pastor to think that people that I care for and love so much, that they would have division and strife amongst themselves. You want to know who the big winner is during this election? The news media. Fox News. $1.6 billion in profits this year. CNN. $1 billion in profits. MSNBC. A news network that was really on the verge of bankruptcy several years ago, they made $300 million. How did they make it? They made it on division. They love it when we're divided. They love it when we're against each other. They love it when we be nasty towards each other. They thrive on that. And now they want to stir it up more. Let's bring back racial, you know, it's there, but let's promote racial division. Let's promote white versus black. Let's promote these things. And so why? More division, more people going to watch the news to see what's happening, and more profits for them. I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going that way. I got rid of cable. I got rid of all that because I'm tired of the junk. I'm tired of the stuff being put. I would go up to Minnesota and my mom, can I just rant for a little bit? I would go up to Minnesota and my mom and my dad, you know, my dad's in heaven now, but my mom, you know, they're in their 80s. They're just so afraid of everything. They sit and watch Fox News all day long. They don't even want to go out of the house anymore. And see, if we do that, if we cocoon ourselves, if we get so afraid and we lock ourselves in our houses, how are we going to reach the sinners for Jesus Christ? Come on, people, we're better than this. We have the mind of Christ. What happened to Philippians chapter 4? Whatever is good and pure and perfect and lovely and good report. What happened to praying for our leaders and praying for our nation? That's what happened to praying for our community. Where did this criticism and gossip come from? That came from the pit of hell. God's trying to unify us and the devil's trying to divide us. A house divided cannot stand. If we're going to do what God's called us to do, and again, it's impossible. But we're not going to be able to do it without God's love. We are made by Jesus to walk in agape love. But you've got to stir it up. We've got to encourage each other. You've got to make a decision every day we're going to do it. And we're not going to go with the world and be like the world and do what they do. You mingle with the world and you learn their ways and it becomes a snare to you. It's not going to get any easier. Put up Matthew 24, please. Verse 12. We'll try to wrap this up because we've got other things to do here. Matthew 24 is talking about the last days. And look at what it says here. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now you can think, well, that's the world's love. But that word love there is agape love. It's talking about the love in the church is going to grow cold. And what that means is, that word cold, it means that the heat actually just evaporates. And a chill comes. And I want to tell you, I'm seeing that. I've been seeing that. I've been seeing it in the church. I've been seeing it outside the church. And I've been seeing it in believers. And I'm just telling you, we got to wake up. We got to stir ourselves up. We can't go with the world. We can't be like everybody else. When everybody else does wrong, we need to do right. And we need to use the most powerful things that we have, which is our words, and use them with the Word of God, and use them for the gospel, and use them for love, and use them to give life, and not to bring hate and death, and to curse people. I don't want that for Good News Church. I don't want the agape love of God to grow cold here. This is who we should be. Put up the scripture from John, please. I'm a man of hope. I'm a man of faith. I'm not going to give up. There are days you're just discouraged. And there are days you want to quit. And there are days you wonder, is it all going to work out? But then you get alone with God and you start praying. And He says, I've called you. I've given you a vision. I've given you a mission. You keep on going. The devil's a liar. But look what it says here. And this needs to be who we are here. A new commandment I give to you, that you agape one another. You love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. We're to love people with the love, the very love that God loves us. Now, let me ask you about your life. Is this your testimony right here? This should be a little more of a celebration today. I can't help but be impacted, though, by all that's happened. So you just have, we're going to receive communion today, and it's a time of reflection and looking at yourself. But let me ask you, does this verse represent you? By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I was in Minnesota just recently. My mom has not been feeling well. She's 83 and has not been feeling well. And I was going to go up and see her, but I was just kind of praying about things and felt kind of directed to go at a certain time. And so I get a ticket and I go up there. And little did I know that I'd be walking right into really an emergency situation with her. I came in on a Wednesday, and she was, just that day, they decided they found cancer in her colon, cancer the size of a fist. 83-year-old lady. She's really weak and just really in a rough shape. She's lost a lot of weight. I walked in and saw her. I mean, I just couldn't even recognize her. And we were going through the whole process, and so I had a little time to spend with her, and so I talked to her because it was really life or death. We actually had one of those moments where you talk to the person like that they may not see them again. And so we had the time of prayer and things we wanted to say to each other, and she said things to us just like this was like the last meeting. I mean, it's really emotional. But I had an opportunity to talk to her, and so I was just kind of asking her questions because I didn't really know. I don't know what God's plan was. I'm believing for her to come through this, and she has, by the way. But I'm just, you know, was just really reflective and asking her some questions about her life. And so I asked her, I said, you know, what have you been thinking about the last couple weeks? I mean, you're 83. I mean, I talked to her probably a month ago for the first time ever. She told me she's ready to go on. Never heard her say that. She's ready to go on. Ready to go to heaven. Her husband's there. They're married 50-something years. You know. I mean, they cared for each other, and, you know, he's gone. So she's by herself, living in this townhouse. And, well, my family's up there, but, you know, she's alone. And so she's got a lot of time to think. And so I'm asking her, so what have you been thinking about? And she says, I mean, just as fast as she could, she responded, this is what she said. I've been thinking about two things. Two things about my life. 83 years. You know, and here I'm thinking, you know, she loves to travel. I mean, she probably wanted to travel more. Maybe some different things she would have wanted her for her family, you know. She's a writer, and she's had some published books, but she probably wanted to have more. I mean, you know, there's always more things that she wanted to do. So I'm thinking, what is she going to say here? She said two things that I've been thinking about. The first is, have I been obedient to God? Have I been faithful to what He's called me to do? The second thing was, how have I treated people? Yeah. And you know what she said? The biggest regret that I have is that I didn't treat people better. 83 years, all the things that she's done, my parents are blessed, done a lot of things. Biggest regret that she had was, how did I treat people? And so today, I mean, you can go with the world and go with all that junk. I'm not going to go that way. I want to keep forgiveness and grace and love in my life and treat people right and not judge them. One of the big things that we have, this division between people today, we don't even know each other. Got to get to know each other. But I don't want to have any regrets. So today, we're going to receive communion. What I need to do, just tell them to snap my finger and they'll bring it in. Guys, let's get ready for communion. I know this is heavy today, but I want us to be people that bring healing. I don't want the people of the Good News Church to stir up strife and And I'm not saying this is easy. This is not, you know, this is not going to be easy to do. But the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. I believe we can do it. I believe we can rise to the occasion. And we're going to have to will it and make a decision to do it, that this is the kind of people we're going to be. And then in wherever people are spewing hate and death and destruction, we're going to spew life. We're going to be life givers. We're going to bring the gospel. We're going to do all we can to help people grow up. Amen.